This is Alive with Joseph.
Welcome to church. Welcome to midweek service. Welcome to today's fasting and prayer. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Shall we read the scriptures still standing? Let's read. The first scripture is Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, NKJV translation. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you are all and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. There is a land I am giving to you people. And Joshua, you are the one to take everyone there. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Amen. Walk up to three people, say to them on my behalf, or ask them, or say, speak to them, prophesy to them, say to them, it is done. Tell them, it is done. Now look for another three people, walk to them and tell them, I am living in the realms of it is done. Look for another three people, tell them, I am living in the realms of it is done. Now you go ahead and give Jesus your praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Now understand that the history of the believer is not biological or geographical. The history of the believer is the finished work on the cross of Calvary. So as believers, we will need to define that what our history means to us and what our history is to us. So tonight, I'm looking at what I title, it is done. You often hear me or always hear me use that word, it is done. So I feel necessary to break it down as we look into scriptures. Amen. So as believers, we will need to define what history means to us and what history is to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is to say, the day you became born again, your biological and geographical history was canceled. That is to say, the day you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the day you confessed him as Lord over your life, he came into your heart, and you became born again, and your history was canceled. Your biological history, geographical history was canceled. This is the boldness with which the Apostle Paul was able to say, I have wronged no man. When he was speaking to the church, he said, I have wronged no man. This was a man who had killed so many people, who had persecuted so many people, and he was able to wake up after he got born again and say, I have wronged no man. Why? His history changed when he accepted his story from the cross. When he accepted his story from the cross, his history changed. That is to say, if you do not understand, when we read the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if you don't understand verse 16, you may not appreciate verse 17. So let's back up a bit. Let's read verse 16. Verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. That means we don't know anybody through their biological or geographical history anymore. From henceforth, now that they are born again, we don't know them through their biological or geographical history anymore. Now, Paul now continued and said, I didn't know Jesus after the flesh. That is, my encounter with Jesus had nothing to do with the flesh. He said, I knew him after the spirit. And then it is from that verse 16, the conversation now continued. He now moved to verse 17 and now said, therefore, since we don't know Jesus after the flesh, if any man now is in Christ, he is new creature. He is now a new creation. He is not a renovation, not an upgraded version of the old. That is to say, there is nothing about him that you can say you know about his history, because the day he gave his life, he got born again. The day he entered into Christ, he became new. The day he entered into Christ, he became new. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. So just like Jesus carried the Christ, because Jesus is the container that carried the Christ on the earth. Jesus, I hope you know, Jesus was the container that carried the Christ. Your body also, the day you became born again, became the container that is carrying the Christ on the earth. So let's, when you look at that scripture, now he made it clear that now that you are in Christ, you are now a container carrying the Christ. Let's strengthen our conversation further. Let's look at TPT translation of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. He now said, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. The word vanish there means disappear suddenly and completely. Now that you're in Christ, he said, now the old has disappeared suddenly and completely. He now said, behold. The word behold there means pay attention. Pay attention. What are you to pay attention to? Pay attention to the new man that is fashioned in the image of him that created him. Pay attention. Pay attention to the new man, because now the old has vanished completely. The new man has resurrected. I pray for you. May the new man you carry find expression in the name of Jesus. So as believers, we don't dwell on what was done to us. We dwell on what was done for us. We do not dwell on what was done to us. We dwell on what was done for us. That is to say, your past is not what happened in biological or geographical. Your past is the cross. Your past is the cross. Now that you are in Christ, your past is no longer biological or geographical. Your past is in the cross. It's the cross. So in Christ, the solid rock will stand. Why? Because all other ground are sinking sand. So now that you're born again, everything that has to do with you is on the cross. Everything that has to do with you is on the cross. That is to say, your human history cannot give birth to your divine destiny. Your human history cannot give birth to your divine destiny. When you accepted Jesus, your background changed. Your background became his story. Your background became his story. Never forget that. That is why I can confidently say you're a barrier breaker. Why? Your background now is his story. You are a line crosser. There is something in you that defied your biological history. Why? Because your history has changed to his story on the cross. Your history has changed to his story on the cross. So you and I must keep in focus what he said. You and I must keep in focus what he has done for us. Because understand, as believers, we start from the finish line. We start from the finish line because all that is in Christ is done, past. Everything that is in Christ is done. He is not going to do. It is done. That is what makes you more than a conqueror, because you take the trophy of the victory that has already been won for you. You didn't fight the fight, but you were given the victory trophy. You didn't fight the fight, you were given the victory trophy. That is, Christ fought the fight, gave you the trophy. That is what makes you more than a conqueror. That is what makes you more than a conqueror. He fought the fight and gave you the victory. You and I are enjoying the victory that Jesus fought the fight already. He fought the fight. That is why you and I are not engaging in the fight against the forces of darkness. We fight the good fight of faith. What is the good fight of faith? Maintaining what he has obtained. The good fight of faith is to maintain what Jesus has obtained. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. So when you study the New Testament, one of the things you will notice is it describes your reality. The New Testament describes your reality. The New Testament doesn't describe your possibilities. Never forget that. It describes your realities. It shows you your realities so that you can live out your possibilities. I repeat, the New Testament shows you your reality so that you can live out your possibilities. The New Testament is not an aspiration, it's a description. It shows you your realities so that by that you can live out your possibilities. So the believer operates from the realms of it is done. That is the realm you and I operate from. Listen very carefully. We don't just preach the event of his death, burial, and resurrection. We should talk about the revelation of his death, burial, and resurrection. Why? To only preach or teach about the event of his death, burial, and resurrection is to only teach what happened to him. When we focus only on the event of his death, his burial, resurrection, what we are focusing on is what happened to him, which is very powerful. But understand, to teach the revelation of his death, burial, and resurrection, we are now teaching what happened for us. Because there is what happened to him. Based on what happened to him, it happened for us. So if you do not understand what happened for you, you will only celebrate what happened to him and never get to enjoy the victory that he has given to you by what happened for you. So teaching the event shows us what happened to him. Teaching the revelation shows us what happened for us. So it happened to him so that it might happen for us. If it didn't happen to him, it wouldn't have happened for us. That is why we sing, victory belongs to Jesus, victory belongs to me. Are you understanding now? Because what happened to him became what happened for us. Until you start seeing his victory as your victory, you are going to only talk about the event and not the revelation of his resurrection. And that is why many believers, they only talk about Easter. They only know Jesus on Easter day because they know the event, they don't know the revelation. What the revelation of his resurrection does for you is to show you how the event of his resurrection was wired for your victory, for your favor. It is finished is not an Easter verbiage. It is finished is for our daily living. Never forget that. It is finished is not an Easter verbiage. It is finished is for our daily living. And the reason why many believers during Easter, they only talk about, that is when you hear believers talk about, it is finished. Because why? For many Christians, they only know the event, they don't know the revelation. But you and I must understand, it is finished is for our daily living. And the reason you see the word, it is finished, so popular around Easter, is because Christians believe the event, but they don't know the revelation of his resurrection. Give the Lord your praise this evening. Now, the finished work produced a done believer. It produced a totally complete believer. That is, when he said it is finished, it meant he has finished the work for your completing or for your completion. So when you hear it is finished, that means the payment is made, the account is settled, the credit book is closed. It also means you already have the victory and the battle has come to an end. Now, this finished work finished the work. So the believer is a product of the finished work. So when we say it is done, it is done. And you and I must bring our consciousness to align with it. Because the finished work finished the work for the believer. You and I need to bring our consciousness to align with it. When we say it is done, you and I must align with it. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. Let me show you something there quickly. Colossians 2 verse 9. Go there with me quickly. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is, Jesus was the Godhead headquarter. Jesus was the HQ of the Godhead when he walked on the earth. Are you following me, friends? When Jesus moved on the earth, he was the HQ of the Godhead. Jesus was the full God moving on the earth. He now continued in verse 10, the same scripture. Follow me carefully. He said, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So this fullness of God in bodily form, this very God of very God, you are now, he now said, you are now complete in him. Let's look at how TPT puts it. Let's read. It says, for he is the complete fullness of deity, living in human form. And our completeness is now focused in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. You are completely filled with God, not partially filled with God. You are completely filled with God. That is to say, seated here is God. Let it sink. You are completely filled with God. Another translation puts it this way. Put the AMPC. I want everybody, let's read together. AMPC. Are you ready, everybody? Are you ready, everybody? Online, are you ready? Now let's go at the count of three. One, two, three, go. Huh? Thank you. You just read to me. Can we now read properly? Everybody, if you don't read properly, we'll return back and read it again. Are you ready, everybody? You just read to me. Thank you so much. I enjoyed that. Now, let's read properly. One, two, three, go. For in him, ness of deity, the Godhead continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him, made full, having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. Stop. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. And I said, let me explain what the Godhead is. He said, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you're not just filled with that. He said, you have now reached full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority, of all angelic principality and power. So you, he said, you are filled with the Godhead. What is the Godhead? He said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is to say, you cannot have a lesser victory than Jesus. You are filled with the Godhead, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have reached full spiritual status. That is to say, you seated here, the Father is sitting. The Son is sitting. The Holy Spirit is sitting. Not your neighbor. Make sure they're awake. Make sure they're awake. Because if it is fly over their head, there'll be trouble. The reason why believers are afraid of what they should be ruling over is because they do not understand in you seated here is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is to say, you cannot have a lesser dominion than Jesus. You cannot have a lesser prosperity than Jesus. You too are filled with the Godhead. And now say, you have reached full spiritual status. So now you must grow in your consciousness of the full spiritual status you have reached. Who you are in Christ is complete. Now, on that, you now grow in your consciousness. You grow in your consciousness. When you are now serving God, it's based on this consciousness. When you give to God, it's based on this consciousness. When you honor God with your time, with your treasure, with your talent, it's based on this consciousness that you have reached full spiritual stature. You now grow in alignment with your spirit. Hear this, friends. He that is born of the spirit is spirit, not spiritual. I repeat, he that is born of the spirit, the believer is not spiritual. The believer is a spirit. The believer is not spiritual. The believer is a spirit. Then Paul now said, to be spiritually minded is life. That is to say, you and I must be conscious of the spirit that we are in. Hear me, friends. If you don't know this, if you don't know that it is done, for the adversary will always take advantage of you. The adversary will always take advantage of you when you do not know that seated here is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He said, they dwell in you. They're in you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. So, and you are in him, made full, and having come to the fullness of life, in Christ, you too are filled. In Christ, you too are filled. Did you see that? In Christ, the same way Jesus was filled with the Godhead, the same way Jesus was the headquarter of the Godhead, you too are the headquarter of the Godhead. You too are the HQ of the Godhead. And he said, you have reached full spiritual status. How can you tell me that this is you? The Godhead and devils are oppressing you. How can you tell me that this is you? This is you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One small thing is making noise on your roof, and you are looking for salt to throw on your roof. You are the HQ. Have you ever seen a robber go rob the headquarters of the police, except he wants to be butchered into pieces? He wakes up and says the next place their robbery will take place is the headquarters of the military. He has drank so much, you know. Ordinary, the military camp on your way to the airport here, you can't even go near. From where you are approaching that street, you see these men who are trained with their serious weapon. In fact, if you're reckless, you behave yourself. Because there are things you can't do in certain places. And how dare you, the headquarter of heaven, of the Godhead, something comes to press you in the night. Where is it coming from? This is you, and the devils are making noise anyhow in your business and career. Declare with me, say, I cannot be oppressed. Say loud and clear, I cannot be oppressed because I am the headquarter of the Godhead. Say amen to that. Give Jesus your praise, everybody. So that means, friends, for any devil to oppress you, they will have to oppress the Father, oppress the Son, oppress the Holy Spirit. That means anywhere you are, the Father is there. Anywhere you are, Jesus is there. Anywhere you are, the Holy Spirit is there. And you are there because the container carrying the Godhead is you. You are the container carrying the Godhead. Ah, you are the container. So you don't need to invite the Father again. Anywhere you enter, the Father is there. The Son is there. The Holy Ghost is there. And you are there. Give the Lord your praise, everybody. So the knowledge of your finished past gives you peace in your present and gives you power for your future. The knowledge of your finished past gives you peace in your present and power for your future. So you face your future from what is done. You enjoy your present from what is done. And you expel doubt from what is done. Charles Spurgeon, a Baptist preacher of blessed memory, he said this, and I quote him. He said, the general religion of mankind is do. But the religion of a true Christian is done. It is finished. It's the believer's conquering word. It is finished. It's the believer's conquering word. It's not an Easter verbiage. It's the believer's conquering word. You are blood bought. You are now in faith rest life. Child of God, stop being anxious. You now have the faith rest life because of your finished past. What is your finished past? The cross. Welcome to the faith rest life. Why? Because of the cross. So when I say to you it is done, what I'm simply saying to you is it is finished. It is. When I say to you is go and rest. Listen, friends, God is resting. Jesus is resting. Why shouldn't you rest? And do you know that God is resting on the finished work of the cross? God is resting on the finished work of Christ. I hope you know. I will show you in a bit. That is why the Father is no longer doing anything again. Child of God, if God is resting on the finished work of Christ, why should you not rest on the finished work of Christ? God believes in the finished work. That is why all he has done for you is in the finished work. And because the finished work finished the work, God is resting. So friends, God has done it for you. Rest. Find a way to rest. Be anxious for nothing. Whatever has come against you cannot swallow you. Whatever has come against you, your victory is guaranteed. We know the end of the story. The end of the story is you win. Give the Lord your praise this evening. Celebrate Jesus tonight. Say, I win. So let me show you something quickly. Go Hebrews chapter 4 verse 10. TPT. Did you see this? Let's read it. I like this. Let's read it. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, let's go. As we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works. Just as God celebrates his finished works and rests in them. He celebrates the finished work and he rests in them. And as I said earlier, God believes what Jesus has done for you. You too must believe what Christ has done for you. God is chilling on what Jesus has done, on what Christ has done for you. He is waiting for you to come chill with him. Not your neighbor, tell your neighbor, come and chill with God. Abba, why are you anxious? God is chilling in what Christ has done. He is chilling, relaxing, sipping whatever God sips, and watching the devil embarrass himself. Because he was made a public show of. He was triumphant. The enemy was ridiculed publicly. And he said, why is my child not coming to chill with me? Knowing that you are now in the faith rest life. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is saying, come, chill with me. Listen, do you believe that your healing is done? You believe. Do you believe that your breakthrough is done? Do you believe that it is done? If you do, now lift your voice and celebrate God because it is done. Celebrate him because it is done. If you believe, celebrate him. Celebrate him because it is done. Celebrate him because it is done. He died for you and died as you. Celebrate Jesus. Don't stop. Give him praise. Give him praise. He was buried. You were buried with him. He resurrected. You resurrected with him. Now he is seated. You are seated with him. Give the Lord your praise one more time. Look at someone by your left and your right. Say to them, it is done. Say to them, it is done. Say to them, it is done. Say to them, be anxious for nothing. Because the finished work has finished the work. Give the Lord your praise one more time. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says, he raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, TPT translation, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. What Christ did for you and I was to put us in our position, which is seated in Christ. Why? If you don't know sitting position, you will not be able to stand properly. When you do not understand sitting position, you can't stand properly. And sitting is a posture of rest. So God was already saying to you and I, rest. Why? Because it is done. You are seated in Christ, not standing in Christ. Never forget that. You are seated in Christ. Not standing in Christ. The only time Jesus stood was to welcome Stephen. And the only time he will stand again is to welcome home the believers. So you are seated in Christ. Christ is seated, resting. God is seated, resting. You too are seated, resting. Why are you standing? Why are you standing? Because your posture is seated in Christ. Why do you keep standing up? Why do you keep standing up? Standing up is an indication of worry. Why do you keep worrying? As if by worrying, you can add anything to your life. Why do you keep standing up? God is seated. Christ is seated. You too are seated. But the challenge is many keep standing. Even though The position Jesus has given them is to sit. And the reason for sitting is because it is done. The reason for sitting is because the work is finished. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3. CEV translation puts it this way. Only people who have faith will enter the place of rest. It is just as the scripture say, God became angry and told the people, you will never enter my place of rest. God said this, even though everything has been ready from the time of creation. So you are not going to fail, not because of your human strength. You are not going to fail because your success is done. It's done. It is done. I want that to sink. It is done. It is done. It is done. Completed. Finito. So what I'm showing you right now is what I'm simply saying to you, create capacity to receive what is done. What I'm showing is how it is not your business to know how he would do it. It is not your business to figure it out. Your business is to live in the faith rest life. Are you following me? Second Corinthians, quickly. Let me return back tonight to my test. Second Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. Says, for all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. That is to say, before Jesus came, all of the promises, they were an open check without a signature. Everything you see in the scriptures, from the Old Testament to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were an open check without a signature. Until Jesus came, it was a check without the signature of the owner of the account. This check could only be signed with his life. So when Jesus came, when he died, when he was buried, when he resurrected, he signed the check with his blood. So that you and I can now cash out the signed check. That is why I say, for all the promises of God, in him are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So he says, now that you are in Christ, go cash out the signed check. Because I have signed a check, not with an ink. I have signed a check, not with a Parker pen. I have signed a check with my life. My life was the signature the check required was my life. Without my life, the check would not have been authentic. You would not have been able to cash it out. Now, I have signed the check. You go cash it out. Now, this to say, you and I are the cash out generation. We are the cash out generation. We cash out everything that Jesus' life has signed on the check. Healing, he signed it on the check. Deliverance, signed it on the check. Your prosperity, signed it on the check. Your breakthrough, signed it on the check. Your success, signed it on the check. And he didn't sign with anything. He signed with his life. Celebrate the Lord tonight. He signed the document with his blood so that you and I cannot cash out. Look at your neighbor, tell them, I'm a cash out generation. I am telling the loud and clear, let the devil catch some pneumonia. So I'm the cash out generation. I'm the cash out generation. Oh yes, you are. You are the generation that receives what is done. And it is done, signed with his life. Give the Lord your praise. Give the Lord your praise. So that means once you are in Christ, it is done. Once you are in Christ, it is done. It is now the done life. As they say in our generation, you are now in your, you are now in your it is done era. Oh yes. That's where you are. You are in your done era, my friend. You are in your done era, my friend. Rejoice because you are in your done era. You are in the era where it is done. It is done. When you know this, there is nothing that will ever put you under pressure. Because no matter what happens, your testimony is guaranteed. Your victory is guaranteed. I say your victory is guaranteed. So you're in your done era, not your neighbor. Tell them, I am in my done era. Tell them, I am in my it is done era. Say loud and clear. Hey, you are in the place of dawn. So as a result, you are not anxious for anything. Listen, many of you are too anxious. Stop it. Stop it. You're too anxious. Some of you, it is the anxiety that is blocking your productivity. Why don't you change your anxiety to prayer? Come join the morning prayers. Join the morning. Instead of being anxious, rolling on your bed from one end to another, carry yourself in bodily form and arrive here. You're there, you're crying on your pillow, wasting your tears. And yet you're in your done era. You should be cashing out. But you're not cashing out because you are refusing. You have made up your mind, I will continuously be anxious. While we are praying and declaring, I take my place back. We are announcing, you are there, you're crying. You are crying. You can't be in this kind of an environment and you're not walking in victory. Pastor Luani, what is the problem? Take advantage of everything provided for you. Hallelujah. Stop being anxious. Come to the morning prayers. Listen, listen. There are some of you. You will need to come to the building. Your house is not helping you. And I'm serious. Some of you, you don't have the discipline to pray at home. Online is sabotaging you. You don't have that discipline. You will need to package yourself and arrive here. I'm telling you. Yeah, package yourself. You will need to. Because online is not helping you. That is why, while we are praying, you're still checking other people's status. And your anxiety level keeps going up. It keeps going up. But when you are here, you can't check status while you're here. For some of you, some others, you have disciplined yourself. You can pray online. But there's some of you, you will need to arrange yourself here. Turn your worries to prayers. Turn your worries to, be anxious for nothing. Put that scripture and I close. What did the scripture say? It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by what? By what? And what? With what? That's a remedy for anxiety. So as we close with our text, the second part of our text, which was Joshua chapter 1 or so. Which was Joshua chapter 1, yeah, verse 1 to 2. As we close with our text, the Bible said, Joshua, God comes to Joshua and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. You're going to be the one to take them into the promise. Now, understand that the word Joshua means Jesus. Joshua means Yeshua. So Moses couldn't take them to the realm of it is done, which is the promised land. Joshua was the one who took them to the promised land. And friends, Jesus has taken you and I to the promised land. Joshua took them. Even at then, it was even not full rest. It was not full rest. But Joshua, that scripture was a metaphor for the Messiah. So the book of Joshua was a type and shadow of what Christ has done. So God is saying to you and I, rest. Why? Because Christ, in Christ, you have come into the realms of it is done. That is, God has given you his best so that you can come into the rest. He has given you his best so that you and I can come into the rest that is available. And we can only do that when we understand that it is done. I rebuke every spirit of worry and anxiety. I rebuke it out of your life in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it out of your life in the name of Jesus.
I rebuke it out of your life in the name of Jesus. Anyone that is weighed down by worry, by anxiety, in the name of our Lord Jesus, I rebuke that foul devil out of your life in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise. Let's rise on our feet and let's pray. Lift your voice. Repeat after me. Say, in the name of Jesus. Thunder, in the name of Jesus. I decree and I boldly declare, I have peace. Therefore, I refuse to worry because it is done in Christ. Thunder, it is done in Christ. In the name of Jesus, lift your voice and begin to declare it.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.